out with the shepherds. Let's sort them shepherds out. I just wanted to talk to you just for a few minutes based on what Melody read to us from Luke chapter 2 about the incident with the shepherds. Shall we refer to it as an incident? I think it was an incident. And I've got three quick points. The first one is class. The artist portrait on the screen, it is not, as you might expect, supposed to be some homeless man on the streets of York, but that's supposed to be a shepherd. And if you look very carefully in his eye, you can see reflecting back an angel. And I think it's very important that we understand at the start of Christmas that the message about Jesus was first of all given to a particular class of people. Now you would have thought, wouldn't you, that they would have told the kings, they would have told the priests, they would have told all the important people first. The Tory voters. You would have thought they would have reached out and touched certain class of people, when actually the angels did the exact opposite. You see, shepherds, let me make no bones about it, shepherds were not the sort of person you invited back to your house. They would go out into nature and sleep rough. You see, there were rough sleepers, which is why that picture reminds you of people you've seen in this city. There were rough sleepers. They were people who slept in, what they worked in, what they ate in, for several weeks of the year as they looked after the sheep. Stop it, Robin. This is not you. Really? That's a good jumper, that one, Robin. It's the only one in the room that's not a Christmas jumper. Well done. Well done. I'm not wearing one, so we're together. The truth is, the message about Jesus came first to a class of people that you wouldn't initially connect. You know, we sort of think in our country, particularly where we have an established Church of England, that it's the stuck-up people that get to know about Jesus, when actually the message always, firstly, came to the common people, to shepherds, to people who desperately needed deodorant, but it hadn't been invented, to people who were not socially acceptable because of their BO. The truth is, when the shepherds came back into town, you made sure you were on a different street. And I'm not exaggerating this. We know that to be the case. So, angels went to tell shepherds, a particular class of people. The Bible puts it this way. It says, when you first heard the message about Jesus, not many of you were rich. Not many of you were born on the right side of the tracks. You know, it goes through a list of people that were exactly the opposite of the shepherd. But it goes on to say, but the message came to you. And you know what? I thank God tonight that there isn't enough in life to come between me and the message about Jesus. I am so pleased that whatever class I was born in, whatever class I die in, whatever class I live in, I want to thank God that I am in a class that the message about Jesus came to. And I don't care if people call me a shepherd and mean it in a way in which they used to mean it in those days. They would call you a shepherd, meaning you stank. I just want to be known as a person that has heard the message and has done something with it. So the first point tonight is that the message comes to all classes. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what sort of a house you live in, it doesn't matter what sort of a car you drive or whether or not you have a car. What matters is whether you're prepared to listen. And those shepherds really were prepared to listen. My second point tonight is terror. It says when the angel spoke to them, they were terrified. Well, don't be so shocked. Actually, that doesn't make sense when you think about it. If you're terrified, you would be shocked. But what I mean is, it was terrifying to see this spiritual being suddenly appear with a choir of its friends. Of course it was terrifying. I mean, good grief, they're in the middle of the Bethlehem fields, surrounded by nothing but sheep. There are no lights. There are no passing cars. There is nothing to attract their attention. Only a few stars scattered in the sky. But suddenly, there is the appearance of something that terrifies them. And what does the angel say? Its first two words are, "Fear not!" It's like, well, I'm glad you've said that. I was terrified. They say that shepherds smell. Well, I've just done something that makes you smell. The truth is, the shepherds were very terrified. But the angel said, "Fear not." And you know something? Laughter aside, although you can still laugh, the truth is that seeing an angel is a shock. Hearing a message to you sent by God is a shock. The fact is that some things are a bit terrifying. I remember being a kid and wondering if there was something under my bed. I was terrified about that. You can't blame a shepherd for being terrified of an angel. But we need to remember that sometimes a little bit of terror, a little bit of fear wakes us up. You know, they say that when you get fearful, adrenaline surges in your body. It's the fight or flight thing. And they needed to wake up. It was the middle of the night. They had to go to Bethlehem. This was an important experience for them. A little bit of terror didn't do them any harm. But remember this. God has never ever set out to terrify people. He has always set out to say, "Fear not, I've got a good message for you." He is someone who loves us and wants to engage with us. And if you don't know that God, then I want to introduce him to you tonight, because he really is good. My third point is gospel. Those of you who know me will know that Professor Farnsworth is a friend of mine. This is the character from Futurama. And you can see his lips. He is saying as he comes out of the lift, "Good news, everyone." And this is exactly what the angel said. Good news to everyone. The angel does not say, "Good news to you fine Jewish people." The angel does not say, "Good news to you stoic Greek people." The angel does not say, "Good news to you Roman oppressors." The angel says, "Good news to everyone." And that means no one's excluded. Some people say, "Well, I wouldn't be part of that club, it's too exclusive." Well, don't worry about becoming a Christian, because there's nothing exclusive about God. He welcomes everybody. Do you know what? He even welcomes smelly shepherds. God welcomes everyone. This is good news for everyone. I am so pleased that there is good news. And what is the news? The news is that today there's a baby born in Bethlehem. And he is more than a baby. Because do you know what? When we had that read to us, nowhere does it say a baby is born. You go back and read it. It doesn't say a child is born. It says a saviour is born. A saviour is born. And that was deliberately to trick you. Because we insert baby. We know the story so well. We insert baby into the story. But it says a saviour is born. Because Jesus came not to stay a baby. Who knows that babies are lovely when they're little? You know, how many times, I mean, we had a baby, it started getting older, so we had another one. And we kept on, I think, well, until we were defeated by the size of our house. But you know what? There's something about babies that's absolutely lovely. I thank God there's something lovely when they grow older as well. But you know, Jesus didn't stay a baby. When he was a toddler, he didn't stay a toddler. When he was 12, he didn't stay 12. Jesus grew up because he was a saviour. And Jesus came not so we can go, "Oh, what a lovely baby." Jesus came so that we would have someone to die in our place, to take the punishment that God deals out for sin. Someone who could reach out to us and say, "Come to me, I forgive you." So that we could have someone who would exchange our death for his life. That is good news. And you might say, "Well, I don't get all this churchy stuff. I don't get all this singing stuff. I don't sing." But you watch X Factor religiously. You listen to Radio 1. You know, the truth is, we all, if we are prepared to, can engage with God through Jesus. If we meet him as a baby, that's good. If we meet him as a crucified saviour, that's good. If we meet him as a risen Lord, well, that's who he is today. And that's really the Jesus we can meet. So it's good news, everyone. It is. It's good news, everyone. So my final question is this. What's your reaction? Oops. What's your reaction? Look at Mr. Bean's face. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger's face. And that woman, whose name I've already forgotten, well, she looks like her eyes are about to explode out of her face. Oh, is that who it is? Thank you. The truth is, we all react to stuff. I am quite sure we would all have a screaming ducky fit if an angel stood up. If an angel appeared up there now, next to Mr. Bean, and said, "I've got good news for you," we would all be wetting ourselves. We would all react. But what's your reaction today to Jesus? You know, we haven't got people in this room just because we have a thing about mince pies. Although, I do have a thing about mince pies. We haven't got you here tonight because we make good coffee, although we do make good coffee. We haven't got you here tonight because we've got quite a lot of hot chocolate to use up tonight. We've got you here tonight because we've got good news and we want to know what your reaction is. Why not react positively to the Saviour? Why not welcome the Saviour yourself? Do you know what? We cannot go back to Bethlehem and welcome the baby. We can't. That was 2,000 and odd years ago. We can never do that, but we can all welcome the Saviour into our lives. And so, I'd like to just say a prayer with you. And, no, that's not it. That's it. And if you want to just repeat this prayer quietly in your heart with me while I say it, then do so, because it would be good if you reacted positively to the Saviour today. Lord God, thank you that you invite me to receive your gift this Christmas. Let today be a start of new and better things for me. Good news like forgiveness, belonging, and walking with you. Help me to put Christ into Christmas this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.